I want to think a little bit about like what it is that we do, what it is that we try to do. We generally notice thematic connections between various sections, and then you try to analyze them. Specifically in this area of the Torah, there are so many connections. There are so many themes which are sort of flowing between one part and the other that it makes it very, very easy. And that's really what we've done previous years. So just again, for example, I'm just going to lay out a number of them, but then I want to get to what I want to do today and show you why it's a little different. Some of the connections are clear textual connections, and some of the connections only emerge after you notice what Chazal told us, and then you realize, wow, there's something going on. So, again, just to make it easy, we see that people come to visit Avraham, and Avraham treats them, right? Hachnasat Archim, he takes them in, and he rushes, and he helps, and he brings, and he this. And then, in the very next chapter, we have the angels coming to see Lot. And when it comes to Lot, he also does some type of achnasat orchim. But again, as I said, right there, you already have the place to make the comparison between the two of them, and as I said, to compare and contrast. And once you compare and contrast, again, multiple issues. By Avraham, they're called anashim, right? They're people. By Lot, they're called malachim. So then you can start thinking about why that would be. Perhaps Avraham treats all his guests as if they're malachim, even if they're people. And perhaps Lot would only treat people like people if he sees malachim. And as I said, you can constantly, you know, make interpretations based upon looking at the analysis, as I said, the thematic connection. When we look at Avraham being asked to get rid of his son, Avram being asked to offer his son, to sacrifice his son. So as I said, that's something which is very disturbing. I want to start specifically on the Midrashic level. When you realize that, at least again, going to the Midrash, that when Terach got frustrated with Avram, who had destroyed the idols, he had Avram thrown into the furnace. So here you have Avram being asked to get rid of his son, while at the same time Terach did the exact same thing. And I'll stress this point. The very fact that Avram came out of the furnace unscathed, I think is an additional reason why Avram may have had more confidence that everything's going to be okay, that everything's going to work out okay. The comparison between the expulsion of Yishmael and the Akedat Yitzchak is one, again, which jumps out. And as I said, there are many of these. Maybe I'll give you one more, which perhaps we never noticed. And that is, when Avraham negotiates with God to save Sodom, one of the things that he talks about is on the moral level, you know, how can innocent people be killed with guilty people? You have almost the same words coming out of the mouth of Avimelech. After, and by the way, he does not seem all that innocent. Gam hagoy tzadik tara, are you going to kill an innocent person? Which means turning back to God again, the exact same negotiation, the exact same kind of phrase that Avraham uses. So I'll say it again. Going throughout this parsha, last week's parsha, there are all kinds of themes which are established and going again and again. And all you need to do to give a shear is to make the simple comparison between the two. But the one that I want to focus on today is one which is more difficult than all the others, and it's more difficult for two reasons. It's more difficult, I'll give the second reason first, because I didn't see anybody discussing it. So that already makes it more difficult. I can't just steal what somebody else said. But the second reason why it's more difficult, it's not really the same theme being repeated in another context. It's the same story being repeated differently, but it's the same story. When I say it's the same story, I can argue that the expulsion of Yishmael and Akedat Yitzchak is the same story. It's not the same story. There are certain issues which are similar between them. There are a lot of things which are similar, but it's not the same story. What I'm referring to is something, I don't know why we don't ask it. Maybe we're just trained that way. We get to the beginning of this week's parasha, and we have Avram has his vision. right? God appears to Avraham. We'll look in the Pesukim in a second. And God comes and he informs Avraham, or he informs, sends the people to inform that Sarah is going to have a child. Now, I don't know if any of you really got to the end of last week's parsha, but in the end of last week's parsha, Avraham was already told that he's going to have a child. Which means, what I'm really asking is, why or what is the necessity to tell the same story over again? But again, this is different from all the other cases I told you. There's a certain theme which is repeated. Over here, it's the same story which is repeated. So when a theme is repeated, then you can now compare and contrast. When the same story is repeated, that's more difficult, because why do I need the same story? So that's our starting point, and let's start looking. Let's look at source number one. Vayera elav Hashem be'elone mamre. And God appeared to him in Elone Mamre, in the tents of Mamre. V'hu yoshev petach ha'ol kecho hayom. And he was sitting by the entrance of the tent in the heat of the day. So, okay. And again, in previous years we discussed, was this a vision, did this happen, and so on. The Rambam and other Rishonim, of no concern to me. Skip to source number two for a second, just to realize how Perek Yud Zayin began. Vayi Avram ben Tishim Shana v'Teisha Shanim, Vayera Hashem el Avram. Okay, stop. So this Vayera Elav Vayera Hashem, or Vayera Elav Hashem, you just have really the same introduction to both. But let's go back to source number one. He lifts up his eyes in Pasuk Bet. He sees the three people coming. He goes and he runs to greet them. And again, the context that we're taught is this immediately follows the previous section. This immediately follows the Brit Milah after it was implemented. One of the best indications of that is Vayera Elav Hashem, instead of, you know, right? My editor would never let me get away with a verse like that or a sentence like that, right? And God appeared to him. Who's him? That would be the red on the side, right, Ariella?
Sure.
Right? Who are you talking about? So the fact that you can just leave it to him is probably the strongest indication that we're continuing what was said immediately before. And yes, over here the Midrash creates a whole narrative how Avram didn't feel well, but he didn't feel well physically, but he also didn't feel well religiously or emotionally because of his lack of ability to perform chesed, which again is a wonderful narrative which is woven in, even though the text doesn't say any of that. Okay, the people come, and Avraham greets them in really an extreme way. This is the best description we have of Avraham performing Hachnasat Arthim. We'll skip to Pasuk Tet. Vayomur elav, and they say to him, Ayes Sara Ishtecha, Vayomer Hine Baohel. And they ask, where is your wife Sarah? And he says, in the tent. Now, there's something really important about that verse, which I'm not going to tell you yet. So hold on to it, but just make a note. Pasuk Yud, Vayomer, Shuv Ashuv Elecha, Ke'et Chaya, Vihine Ben Lasara Ishtecha. That's a great message. It's a great teaching. It's a great piece of information. We're going to return, and Sarah's going to have a son. V'Sarah Shomad Petach Omel V'Hu Acharav, and Sarah overhears this. V'Avram V'Sara Zekenim Bam Bayimim Chadal Yot Lasara Orach Kinashim. Sarah, how can we say this delicately? It was once a movie, the prime of Miss Jean Brody, so Sarah was a little past her prime. Not nice to say. Vatitzchak, Sarah Bikirba Lemor, and Sarah laughs. Bikirba is also very interesting inside, but inwardly, this has not come out. Acharei belotia tali. I mean, again, is this really possible? I'm old, my husband's old. Vayomar Hashem al Avraham, and God says to Avraham, Lama zetzach akas Sarah? Why? Now, one word I want to know. I want you to translate that for me to help me. But there's one word that bothers me. Which word bothers me? Zeh. What should have it said? Right. Lama tzach akas Sarah. Why is Sarah laughing? The zeh troubles us. Do you all sense that or see that or no? So he asks, why is Sarah laughing? So now you all know why Sarah's laughing. Why is Sarah laughing? She's laughing because this is something which is absolutely impossible. Now, there's a whole nother possibility over here as to what just now happened. And I want to open us up to this possibility and pause for a second. Remember last week's parsha? Do you remember last week God sort of told Avraham that Sarah is going to have a son? And Avraham laughed over there? Right, okay, right. But it's not just that, that's not what concerns me. Now, I'm going to say something, and I have a very easy and simple interpretation for this, or explanation for this. Wouldn't you kind of think that if God told Avraham such earth-shattering news that Sarah is going to have a kid, wouldn't you kind of perhaps suspect that perhaps maybe Avraham would have communicated this to his wife at some point? Now, I have a simple explanation. We don't communicate with... I dare any of you to say this. We don't communicate. Oh, yeah, you know, right? I just remembered, yeah, God did call and leave a message. Sorry about that. It sort of slipped my mind. So I apologize about that lack. Yeah, there was this thing and there was this message. Yes, there was an invitation to that wedding of your friend that I had no interest in going to. And again, there's all kinds of messages that we neglect to pass over, but this is just so strange. And by the way, I'm even willing to suspect that what God is saying right now to Avraham, again, at first point it's to Avraham, just notice that. Vayomar Hashem, where is Hashem in this whole story? So Hashem had been in the background the whole time. God came to visit Avraham. The people come, again, reading it like Rashi. The people come, give over this message. Sarah's listening in the back. By the way, you have two people in the background. You it's Avraham's story. Sarah's in the background and God is in the background. Sarah starts laughing and God turns to Avram and say, and I'm going to read it again. Vayomar Hashem al Avram, lama zetzach akas Sarah? And I'm, do you hear how I'm reading it? Why is Sarah laughing now? Which means you've never mentioned this to her yet? She hasn't heard about this yet? Now, I want to pause right now and make an observation. So again, what do we have so far? We have the same story repeated. Why is the story repeated? Okay, full stop. But let's notice now, going back to Yud Zayin, I want to read through Yud Zayin a bit, and notice what happened over there as opposed to what is happening over here, because it's not the same story. There's a key, or are key differences between them. Perek Yud Zayin is, and Avram's 99 years old. When he's 99 years old, God appears to him. God says, Ani kel shakai hitalech lafanai v'yatamim, walk in front of me, be perfect, be complete. I'm going to make a covenant. Now, that's also a very important piece of information. There's a covenant. What's a covenant? What is a brit? It's a deal. What happens by the deal? Each side has an obligation. If each side has an obligation, then each side has obligations, responsibilities, and the other side gets something from the side, which means it almost gives you the sense of equality, which of course is absurd, but that's part of what's interesting about having a covenant with God. Okay, we're going to make a covenant, and you're going to have lots and lots of kids. But you pull Avram Malpanav, Vayidaber Ito Elokim Leimor. Notice the switch that just now happened? It just now switched from, and God appeared, to Elokim. Yud Kei Vav Kei to Elokim. Now, I apologize to all documentary hypothesis among us over here. If you prefer to explain everything based upon the documentary hypothesis, you're going to have some trouble. So I'm just letting you know that. You're going to have some trouble. But there is a theological message which I think is jumping out in Source 2, Pasuk Dalet, we're about to get to. I want you to pay attention because right now Elokim came into it and Elokim stays all the way to the end. I'm going to make the covenant with you, and you're going to be a father of many nations. You're no longer Avram, now you're Avraham. By the way, in our narrative, in Perek Yud Chet, in source number one, in that narrative, is it still Avram and Sarai, or is it Avraham and Sarah? It's clearly Avram and Sarah, which therefore means that at least part of the information that took place over there was communicated. Which means the name change has come through. The only question is how much information has and how much information hasn't. Ready nations and so on. Now, the many nations is what we need to understand. Because when God tells Avram, you're going to have many nations come from you, that's not the same thing as saying you're going to have one nation come from you. So what I want you to appreciate is that already right now, Avram is being told it's not just what we would today call the Jews who are going to come from Avram. Many nations are going to come from you. So again, I will be for your God. Elokim is here. It's called Eretz Kenaan. So this is something we've noted before. As opposed to the Brit Bin Abtarim, when the amount of land which was given was huge, now he's being told that the covenant that I'm making is going to be very limited, only Eretz Canaan, but presumably those other pieces of land are going to be going to the other descendants of Avraham. V'yitilahem le'elokim. And again, Elokim. V'yom Elokim l'Avraham, v'ata briti tishmar ata v'zaracha acharech l'doratam, zot briti, what is the briti? Asher tishmu b'ni v'neichem v'in zaracha acharecha. So again, the same theme is again and again, almost in every verse. Elokim, zera, you're going to have children, descendants, and over here he finally says it, Himol Lachem Kol Zachar, that you have an obligation of performing circumcision on all the males. Unimaltem et Bisar Orlatchem, Vayelaot Briti Ben Ni Uvenechem. Uven Shmonat Yamim, Yimol Lachem Kol Zachar, Ladorotechem, and so on and so forth. Pasuk Tedva, Vayomer Elokim al Avraham. And now it's no longer Avram, now it's Avraham. Elokim is speaking still. Sarai ishtecha lo tikra et shema. Sarai ki sarat shema. Uvirachti otah v'gam natati mimena lecha ben. By the way, and that should be the message that comes across. That should be what he informs. But apparently, there's something which very much troubles Avraham about this information. Vayipol Avram al panav vayitzchak. So, and you can point out, oh, look, it's the same response that Sarah has. Unculus does not think it's the same response. Unculus has two different definitions. He has different definitions for when Avraham laughs, when Sarah laughs, and later on when Yishmael laughs. So if you're interested in the difference between, because there's many different ways we can laugh. We can laugh out of pure joy and simcha. We can laugh by saying, you know, or smirk, that's impossible, and we can laugh by making fun of something. So there's different types of laughter.
Laugh. A nervous laugh.
So that's what he says to himself, just like Sarah says to herself, the impossibility of this. But Abraham right away articulates something else. And this is what he says. But what's going to happen with Ishmael? And I want to stop for a moment. And this may be exactly why Avraham doesn't tell Sarah. Because the whole purpose of bringing Hagar into his life and bringing Sarah into his and bringing therefore Ishmael by extension into his life was in order to provide Avraham with some kind of progeny. And the moment that he finds out that he's going to have a child with Sarah, right away he says, what does this mean about Yishmael? Yishmael is even going to live. Is Yishmael, what's his future? And how concerned Avraham may be with Yishmael is the issue over here. And I'm even willing to say, as which I've intimated, this is the reason he can't say it. Because if he tells Sarah, you're going to have a son, what does Sarah say right away?
shows the door to the others. That's it. Vayomer Elokim, Aval Sarah Ishtecha Yoledet Lecha Ben. What do you mean, Yishmo? Sarah, your wife, by the way, notice the wife, Ishtecha, is going to have a child, V'kret Yishmo Yitzchak. V'akimot Yet Briti Ito. He's the one who the covenant will be made with. Librit Olam Lazaro Acharav. Everything I've been talking about, it's with Yitzchak. Uli Yishmael, which of course Yishmael and Shamati, Uli Yishmael, Shmaticha, Hinei Berachti Oto, Verfreiti Oto, Verbeiti Oto, B'maod Ma'od, Shneimasa Nisi'im Yolid, Unatativ L'Goy Gadol, don't worry, he'll get a lot. Verbriti Akimit Yitzchak, but God comes back again and says, but the covenant is with Yitzchak. Asher Teled Lecha Sarah, L'moed Hazeh B'shana Acheret, which is exactly part of the message which is coming off in the beginning of our parsha. V'yichel deberito v'yal l'kimi al Avram, and God departs. V'yikach Avram et Yishmael b'no. Who's the first one that he does the Brit Milah on? Yishmael. And then everyone else. Kasher deberito l'kim. V'avram ben tishim v'teisha shana kafhei v'yishmael ben shlosh esrei shana. V'etzim yom zem nimol Avraham v'yishmael b'no. Which means, you notice the emphasis over here in Yishmael as it's being performed, but I think we need to understand what the implication is of the fact that the name Elokim is being used over here. Elokim is a judge. Elokim would indicate justice, would indicate something which is has propriety to it, something which is fair. So the fact that the name Elokim over here is being used, actually, the truth is, it's unbelievable amount of chesed. I want you to understand that. The fact that name Elokim is being used over here is chesed. God's motivation is always chesed. Because he can delude Avram into thinking that he deserves to have a child. Why does he deserve to have a child? Because he's taken upon himself a new mitzvah. He's prepared to do Brit Milah. Because he's prepared to do Brit Milah, we have then something which we can now describe as a type of a quid pro quo. Avraham has his side of the bargain. God has his side of the bargain. God's going to give him a child, and he's going to do Brit Milah, and therefore it's Midat Hadin, it's Elokim, and that's Avraham's perspective on all this. Now, once this is Avraham's perspective, that it's a question of deserving it because of doing the mitzvah, so what does Avraham then try to do? And within his actions, we see this very clearly. He does the Brit Milah on Yishmael. He's stressed that he does Yishmael right away. Yishmael is the first one to do it, which means what's Avram's real concern over here? His real concern is what's going to be with Yishmael. Now, again, this is interesting because you would say, but you're going to have Yitzchak. Forget about Yishmael. But is that really the way that a parent's going to act? I have a new son, so now I can forget about the old son. Yes, I love my wife Sarah more, but what about this child? I mean, do we really suspect that Avraham, who has this unbelievable kindness to all the guests that wander into his house, his own kid, he's willing to just kick out onto the streets? So Avraham over here has this quandary, he has this difficulty, and he's trying to negotiate with it, and of course he does what all of us love to do, he tries to negotiate with God, although this is a very different kind of negotiation than what we're going to find later on, when he negotiates with God regarding the fate of Sodom. There it's articulated, well, how could you do this, and how could somebody who has fairness, shofet kol ha'aretz lo yasem mishpat, but over here, I'm going to say it again, the whole texture of this chapter is one of Elokim after the introduction. And the whole texture, therefore, will give Avraham a sense of dignity. The sense of dignity is, I have a mitzvah to do, and don't we do this also? We do our mitzvah, and therefore God owes us, right? We do the right things, and therefore God owes us, you know, all kinds of things. And therefore, when things don't work out perfectly, we can turn to God. What happened to you? You had a bad day. What is going on? But all of this comes, and I'm going to say it again, because of the kindness that God does for us by giving us the sense of significance, by giving us a sense of being important, by giving us mitzvot to do. And Avram over here being given perhaps the first mitzvah as a Jew, and he can call Lech Lecha mitzvah. No, this is the mitzvah which stays with us. He gives us the mitzvah of Brit Milah, and Avram is silently, by his actions, negotiating with God, he articulated it right away. But what's going to be with Yishmael? So I'm just taking this one step further when we get to the beginning of Vayera, and what was my question that I asked? Why is this being repeated? Well, it's being repeated for a real simple reason. Because Sarah doesn't seem to know anything about this. And how I know Sarah doesn't know anything about it? The second she's told about it, she's floored. Like, what are you talking about? And God turns to Avram. Yeah, so why is Sarah laughing? So this
But one other thing. In the whole Sarah narrative, which name of God is used? It's always Yud Kei Vav Kei. When it comes to Sarah, right? Perek Yud Chet, it's Vayera Elav Hashem. And then in the middle, when God enters into the scene, Pasuk Yud Gimel, Vayomer Hashem El Avram. Pasuk Yud Zayin continues to the whole thing with the negotiation of stone, and very surprisingly, that's Hashem all the way through. Yud Zayin, Yud Chet, Yud Tet, Kaf, Kaf Bet, Kaf Vav, Lamed Gimel. That's Yud Kei Vav Kei all the way through. All the way through. So when I go to the sense of Sarah having a child, there's no quid pro quo. There's no negotiations. This is a woman who has suffered through infertility for years and years and years and years, and God does an absolute manifest miracle and makes this woman young again and gives her a child, and there's no dealing over here. There's no negotiations. There's no sense of even deserving. There is this absolute gift from God. Which I'm just saying is that the orientation may be very, very different. Now, till this point, it could be that you think that maybe I'm just saying this. One more second. I'm just saying this. And again, for you, those of you who are convinced that you perhaps have a documentary solution to all this. First, okay, source number 4, which is Perek Kaf Aleph, when Yitzchak is actually born. The verse is breathtaking, and everything I've just now said will be borne out. Source 4, Kaf Aleph. V'Hashem pakad et Sarah kasher amar. And God allowed Sarah to become pregnant, as he said. V'yas Hashem l'Sarah kasher diber. And God did for Sarah as he spoke. V'tahar v'tel et Sarah l'Avraham ben l'zikunav l'moed asher diber oto Elohim. And Avraham's wife, Sarah, became pregnant as Elohim said to him. Just look at the shift. It's right there from one verse to the next. Sarah, it was Yud Kei Vav Kei, and when it came to Avraham, it was Elohim. So as I said, what I showed you, those two different chapters, these are not two different sources. This is the same, this is one Torah coming from one source, but you see the merge between the two right over here. And as I said, it becomes so obvious when you notice that verse, you can't miss it. Abba, right? You can't miss it after it's staring at you. The only question is if you missed it before it was staring at you. Right? Naomi? The only one who almost noticed any of this, as I said, I've searched and searched. If somebody finds a discussion on this, I'd be very happy. In source number 3, the Meshech Chachma touches some of this, although I disagree with a lot of what he says, and I'll tell you exactly why. Lama zet tzachaka Sarah. Remember, that was the verse that we really started everything in. Lama zet. The zet is what bothered us. Hinei Rabbeinu Haramba, Meperish HaMishnu, B'chiburo, Keel lanu ki anemor mepi Hashem yachol lishtanot, Eidei hishtanot hamekavlim. Sometimes the word of God can change based upon the person changing. L'chein pachadu shem yigram hachet. And therefore, there was always a fear that maybe because a person may have sinned, they are no longer deserving of what God may have said to them. Aval anemor l'navi lo yachol lishtanot. Which means if God says something to an individual, it can change, but if God says something to a prophet, sorry, to an individual can, but he says something to a prophet, that's it. That's already, it becomes a halacha, as it were. It's the word of God to a prophet can't change. L'zot kasher mar Hashem la'Avram, and therefore when God said to Avram, v'yitzchak b'libo halaben me'a shana yulad, mishum sheyachol l'shtanot, he felt this can change. Aval Sarah, acharei sheshama kfar mipi Avraham, asher hu etzla Hu ki ilu shama mi pi navi. This is very, very convoluted. When she hears it, is as if she heard it from a prophet. Kasher karash shama Sarah. When her name was changed to Sarah, shenem lo kol ze bi yachad. All of this was told to her together. But Yitzchak, she laughed. Achein amar lamezet zachak Sarah. Why is she laughing? She already knows it. Lo hanem mi pi navi lo tova lo yachol ishtanot od behevim. Now, if you didn't follow what he said, there was some funny things along the way. But I want to hone in on one thing. His assumption is the opposite of what my assumption was. His assumption is that Avram told her. And Avram told her. It's clear Avram told her. How does he know that Avram told her? Because he knows that her name is changed. So if her name is changed, so of course Avram told her. How could it be that Avram didn't tell her? So, despite him saying this, I'm pretty sure Avram didn't tell her. I'm pretty sure that Avram didn't tell her, and this is something which I think we need to understand and we need to analyze, and also to see what the implications of him not telling. So part of this, we need to broaden this a little bit. We move now on to Pasuk Gimel. Vayikra Avraham et Shem Benohon Raladlo Asher Yodalo Lesara Yitzchak. Right, also a sentence which could have been made easier. Vayamal Avraham Yitzchak Benosh Ben Shmonat Yamim Kasher Tziva Oto Elokim. Now you notice why Elokim is there, because that's where the Brit Milah comes from, and that's where. Okay, good. Vaavram Ben Ma'at Shanavi Valedlo et Yitzchak Beno. But Tomer Sarah Tzchok Asali Elokim. Now that just now became interesting, because now Sarah has just now changed. Tzchok Asali Elokim, which I would assume that by this point Avraham post Brit Milah has now gone back and has revealed again. Where do you get the name from? Well, and now has communicated the entire story, and therefore she at this point will now say Tzchok Asali Elokim. Kol Shemaya Yitzchak Li. V'toma mimi lel Avram, and here she goes into song. V'yigadel hayeled v'yigmal, v'yas Avram mishteh, gadol b'yom yigmal Yitzchak. V'teira Sarah et ben Hagar ha-mitzrit, asher yolda la'Avraham mitzachek. And over here the mitzachek is ridicule, it's much more negative. V'tomer la'Avraham garesh ha'ama hazot de'et bina. Get rid of this woman, get rid of this servant, and get rid of her son. Right, you notice? De'et bina. What is she not willing to admit? That it's his son. Which is a little ironic, especially when we consider something we've considered before, and that is that it says that he made fun. So according to the Midrashim, what was the fun that he made? So here you have the first suicide bomber. This is, suicide bombers willing to kill themselves. But over here you have a suicide comedian, according to, he killed his audience, but it's worse than that. He the thing that he said, could a 100-year-old man actually father a child? And therefore he questioned Avraham's paternity of the child, and therefore sort of intimated, oh, it must have been that night that she spent with Avimelech. But if he's questioning the ability of Avram to have children, he may at the same time have questioned his own paternity, which is why, as I said, there's this suicide aspect to it. Because, I mean, again, if you were to quickly judge the possibility of two things, of either an 86 or a 90 or 99-year-old man to father a child, or a 90-year-old woman to have a child, one would assume that one is more possible than the other. But that seems to be the tzchok. But right away, she seems to, again, I'm just trying to show you the sensitivity of the Midrash. That's what he was questioning, was the paternity of Yitzchak. So she turns around, get rid of her and her son. So that therefore it's her son, get rid of him. Who knows who the father really is? Lishitato, right, according to him. So as I said, that may be where the Midrash is getting it from. And how does Avraham respond? But by the way, and then what does she continue to say at the end of the verse? Ki lo yirash ben ha'ama hazot im bini im Yitzchak, which is exactly what God had said in chapter 17, the part which we don't know exactly when Avraham had chosen to communicate this. Vayirah ha'devar ma'od v'ine Avraham al odot bino. So what bothered Avraham? She didn't bother him at all. You want to get rid of Hagar? Get rid of Hagar. Hagar is a surrogate mother. There's no relationship with Hagar. I'll say it again. There's no relationship with Hagar. Avram is not troubled. Avram is not troubled regarding Hagar. Avram's only troubled about one thing. But no. As I said, the words say right there. God even allows that there may be more to it. Vayomer Elokim el Avram, al yirabe necha al hanarva al amatecha. Kol asher tomar elecha Sarah shma bekola ki biyitzchak yikarei elecha Zara, which means we're having over here, if you haven't noticed it yet, a repetition of what already was said in Perek Yud Zayin. And I'm going to say it again. All the thematic connections, when we have the same theme coming again, that doesn't bother me at all. That gives us room to have more interpretations and insight. But when you have the same discussion again, that does concern me. Which means, why are we revisiting this, that Yitzchak is the one who's going to inherit? For one reason. Avraham does not seem to have completely internalized this or completely accepted this. Now, I will point out, again, as we have noticed, the status of this woman, if you look at source number 5, Visarai Eshet Avram Lo Yelda Lo Vela Shivcha. So she's called a Shivcha. And Sarah says, but Tomer Sarai El Avram, Hinei Na At Sarani Hashem Miledet, Bo Na El Shivchati, again, stress, Al Shivchati, Ulai Ebanai Mimena, Vishma Avram Lekol Sarai, which is very interesting, because what we just now told in the other source, Kol Shir Tomar, right? Yes? What we just now told, whatever Sarah says, you should listen. Kol asher tomari lecha Sarah shema b'kola. Whatever Sarah says, you should listen to. Over here, Avraham listens to her and gets into great trouble. But by the way, just a hint, if your wife does say to you to sleep with a maid, don't.
It's only a test.
It's a test. But you do have to kind of feel bad for Avraham over here, because what does it say? Vayishma Avram lekol Sarai. That he does not do this because he always had a thing for her. I apologize for saying that. He doesn't do this because this is what he really wants. He does this, why? Because he listens to his wife. And by the way, I think this is a serious question. Why, when Avram listens to his wife over here, just has absolutely catastrophic implied consequences, and over here, when God says, no, be sure he's listening to, so maybe something has changed, which is exactly what I want to get to, that maybe something has changed. But as we continue, Batikach Sarai Eshet Avram, notice the focus, Pasuk Aleph was Eshet Avram, again was Eshet Avram, Et Hagara Mitzrit Shivchata, and again, the focus is she's the Shivcha, Miketz Esther Shanim and so on, but the end of the Pasuk is interesting, Batitain Otala Avram Isha Lo Leisha. She gave her to her husband as a wife. So now what exactly is her status? V'yavo El Hagar. Now it left it neutral. El Hagar. V'tar related kiyarata v'takel givirata b'neha. Her boss, Sarah, now no longer seems so special. V'tomas Sarai El Avram, chamasani alecha, anochin yatati shivchati b'chekecha v'tar kiyarata v'kel b'neha. Now, I gave you my shivcha, and now something has happened over here. And again, according to Chazal, what's happened? She's trying to replace Sarah. She believes that because of the miracle of fertility, that now she has the right to replace Sarah. But Yomer Avram El Sarai, Hine Shivchateich B'yadeich. No, she's still your shivcha. Again, I have nothing to do with this woman. She's your shivcha. Do it as you wish. So what does she do? Batana. So she tortures her a little bit. And she runs away. And how does the malach address her? Hagar, shivchat sarai. I mean, right away, no mistake who you are. You are the shivcha. So I'm going to say it again. And what did Zim say? I'm running away from you. So he says, go back to your boss and let her torture you more. So again, what troubles me in all this, here Avram listens, and this is what happens. Avram doesn't seem to have much of a connection with this woman. Sarah is troubled, because again, Hagar is trying to claim more than she is. We do notice that as soon as she gives birth, we can get rid of both of them. Avram doesn't seem to care much about getting rid of Hagar, but he does seem to care very much about getting rid of Yishmael. Now, what does Rashi say on this pasuk? Whatever your wife Sarah says to you, you should obey. What is it that Rashi says over here? What do we learn? Rashi is after source 4 on the bottom of page 2. Shema b'kola. So Rashi quotes Chazal. What does he say? Lamadnu, we learn from this, Shehaya Avraham tafel l'Sarah b'neviyut. We learn from this that Avraham was, how do you want to translate tafel? Secondary, lesser, paled in comparison. She was a prophetess. That Avraham pales in comparison in the level of nevuah to Sarah. So now, there's two ways of understanding this. One way of understanding this is to say, that's always been the case. From the very first day that they met, Avram meets Sarah and says, wow, look at her prophetic ability. She's a greater prophet than I. Some of you may like that. When they go down to Egypt, the Ramban asks his devastating question, how in the world is it possible that Avram can take his wife, Tzadeket, and put her in this compromising situation? So there are those who answer, I believe it's the Or HaChaim, answers the Ramban's question and says, well, what are you talking about? Avram knew that Sarah is on a higher level and was quite confident that nothing could ever happen to Sarah. They can't touch Sarah. Sarah is this unbelievable, which is very nice. It's taking this verse over here and then working backwards and using it to explain difficulties that happened before. So as I said, if you like that, then very good. It's always been the case that Sarah has been on a higher level. But I want to suggest something else. I don't think that's the case. I think that something else has happened just now, and I just want to try to put my finger on it to try to figure out what it is that has happened. When God spoke to Avram back in Perek Yud Zayin and said, you're going to have a child, Sarah's going to have a child, Avraham chooses not to relay all of that information over. Now, if you heard the comment that Nomi made before, her comment was that, this repeats itself later on, that the prophecy of what would happen to the two children then, of Yaakov and Esav, was only given to Rivka, and that prophecy was not given to Yitzchak. Rivka had that prophecy, and that then creates this dysfunctional family all the way through with different people having different pieces of information, but what Rivka knows is prophecy. So again, that's this curse. What happens if you know how your children are going to work out at the end? Do you treat them differently because of this? And it seems to be perhaps even a case of a self-fulfilling prophecy. But going back over here, but what's interesting then is using the word prophecy. And that was actually the trouble that the Meshech Chachma was having. Did Avram? Of course Avram told over what happened. Why would Avram tell it over? Answer would be, because he had to tell it over. Why would he have to tell it over? Because it's prophecy. And a prophet is not allowed to hold back their prophecy. What's the most famous story of the prophet? Of Yonah. Of God says, go, and Yonah says, no, I'm not going. Go. No, I don't want to do it. So that becomes real clear. And the Gemara discusses what exactly is the implication of Yonah's refusal to communicate the prophecy which God has entrusted him with. I mean, that's actually a terrible sin if a prophet doesn't want to fulfill their mission. Now, Avraham, and again, I want to be careful, Avraham apparently receives this prophecy, and he shares most of it. He shares, guess what? He says to Sarah, we've got to order bagels. Why? We're having a bris tomorrow. So, actually for lots of people. So, yeah, so there's bagel lox. This is the source of bagels and lox. So, once we went to the cream cheese, that's right, he was making the cream cheese there. Once we went to the Dead Sea, and I said, Avraham tells her about the bris, right? She probably caters it, right? That seems to be the case. So she caters the bris. Avram has a bris, so he gets a new name. But not only he gets a new name, she gets a new name. And as I said, the name change is clear. The name change follows all the way through. So she's got the new name. He's got the new name. He's got the brit. Everybody's got the brit over here. Yishmael has his. Okay, everyone's got the brit. But there's one little piece of information that Avram perhaps seems to have neglected to actually mention to his wife. And that was that, by the way, you're gonna have a son. And you have to, stop for a second and realize the way that, again, that I think that Avram was being tortured. And by the way, for all of you concerned about Begova Einayim, low Begova Einayim, we're Begova Einayim right now, or lower than that, it's okay. Avram's tortured, because by the way, he can say something which will make his wife more happy than anything that he can ever say to her. Forget about it, that it's a prophecy. Yes? He can give her information that's going to make her so happy, and he holds back on that information because at the same time that she's going to be so happy, his whole life gets turned upside down. Because the second that he tells her, he knows what the implication is, because that's what he says right away to God. What's going to be with Yishmael? And what happens afterwards? He has to get rid of Yishmael. Again, this is what ends up happening. So when I go back a second and I say, in this particular context, of what? Of getting rid of Yishmael. That's where God says, whatever Sarah your wife says, you should listen to. And that's where Chazal say, well, why? Oh, because Sarah is in a higher level of prophecy. So why would Sarah be in a higher level of prophecy? For the very simple reason that Avraham refused to be a prophet when it came to the same information. When it came to the same information, he held on. What's the word you wanted to use? What happened to all my wordsmiths today? So blame me. Go blame me. Abraham held back and refused to share his prophecy. And when he refuses to share the prophecy, Sarah gets the same prophecy. Sarah got the exact points that Avram refused to share is what Sarah gets, and that's what God says, and listen to Sarah because she's a better prophet than you are. Again, just read Rashi back into it, which means everything that I've been saying today in terms of Avram receiving the information, Sarah and I, again, I understand why Avram acts this way, but Avram has to realize that despite the fact that he's a prophet, he works in a non-profit. And he works for, he works for somebody else. And when you work for somebody else, then you have your responsibilities. And when you have your responsibilities, you need to live up to those responsibilities. And one of the most difficult parts, we know that sometimes prophecy is called a masa. Sometimes it's very heavy. It's a burden. Sometimes it's going to affect you on a personal level. And Avram has a very, very hard time with this because he knows what's going to happen, but he tries to hold that back. So I'm saying this is just so precise. The exact prophecy that he held back is the prophecy that Sarah gets that God says, by the way, listen to everything that Sarah says. And that's where Chazal come and say, because she's a greater prophet than you. Why? Because you refuse to be a prophet. So, for the feminists among us, I apologize. First of all, I apologize because you're going to say that I'm a misogynist and so on and so forth, and I voted for the... I didn't vote. But which itself makes me a misogynist, most likely. No, because you can say, hold it. You're saying only because of this, Sarah is a greater prophet? But my point is that instead of looking at this as a general issue, we're forgetting about what the topic was over here. And again, I also reconciled something else. When Avram listened to Sarah's voice back in the beginning, that's what started the whole problem. By having Yishmael in the first point. Oh, she's a great prophet. Listen, everything's going to work out. Well, it didn't look like it worked out all that great having Yishmael and marrying or not marrying, having her as a wife or not having her as a wife. What happened over there? Whatever Sarah says, you should listen to. He listened to her. And that's what caused all the problems. That's what I'm saying, that there's a difference. Now Sarah is a prophet. Specifically regarding this message, Sarah is a prophet. Specifically regarding this point, I don't know. But specifically regarding this point, I think exactly what Chazal is trying to tell us. That when Avram refused to communicate this prophecy and refused to recognize this prophecy, refused to accept this idea, no, things have changed. I didn't say he lied. It's bad enough what I said. But do you think this one? No, this prophecy is that. Sorry. Well, this is different. Yishmael is not the one. And he's troubled what's going to be with Yishmael. Again, we're getting a glimpse at Avram as a father. Do you realize now how interesting the Akedah is right after this? The Akedah just now became a much more interesting story right after this. How does Avraham deal with being a father versus dealing with what God said? So God now says, okay, let's try this again now. No, I'm being very serious about this. The whole Vayichrei Adrim Eile is following this. So what happened before? So what happened before is Avraham is having some kind of difficulty. So now what happens when the Akedah comes? Okay, A prophet doesn't mean that you have a crystal ball and everything that God will ever do, you happen to know. I suggest a class action suit against whoever taught you. So just stop. But as I said, the Akedah just became much more interesting when we realized the angst which Avraham is experiencing, even when he came to Yishmael, who was a child with the woman who he does not really seem to love or have a relationship with even. And now when it comes to the wife that he loves, to try to be told that you have to get rid of this child, as I said, that just now became much, much more interesting. Go back to the various elements, and then we're going to stop. Go back to the various elements of what we saw today. We started with a very simple question. Why is the story of the information of Yitzchak being born repeated? Avram was told in Perek Yud Zayin, so why being told in Perek Yud Chet? So what did we then note when we actually looked at them carefully? Perek Yud Zayin was about informing Avraham. Perek Yud Chet was about informing Sarah. Well, simple. The second thing that we saw is that Perek Yud Zayin, the name of God being used, is Elokim. Perek Yud Chet is Yudkei Vavkei. When we looked even further, we realized that when Avram's informed, it's part of a relationship and it's part of a contract. Two sides. That two sides gives a little bit more dignity. It makes us feel that we are justified in expectations. We deserve a child. Why do we deserve a child? Because we're going to do our side over here. I did Brit Milah. Now I deserve a child. And it gives us the sense of deserving. And that's this idea of Elohim. Once Avram is in this mindset, right away he's concerned about what's going to happen with Yishmael, because he understands the implication of what God said. And God says to him, no. Yitzchak. But what's going to be with Yishmael? So what does Avram do right away? He does the Brit Milah on Yishmael, right? And then you have this emphasis on Yishmael going all the way through to the end of the chapter, maybe even Avram believing that you could negotiate with God. As we see coming on afterwards, he does negotiate with God, but this is a different type of negotiation. Maybe Yitzchak can be the main child, but it doesn't mean I have to get rid of Yishmael. Yes, Yitzchak is going to inherit, but maybe Yishmael can help out, right? Why does it have to be in absolute terms like this? And he knows that Sarah's not going to take it that way. Sarah already tried to get rid of Hagar long before. And that was even without having. But now once a child's going to be there, forget about it. So it seems to be that Avram sort of neglects to mention this little piece of information to her wife, to his wife, that maybe she should start shopping for maternity clothes. Okay? So he forgot to mention this. But again, I think it's much more. But what I'm suggesting is that it's not just that he doesn't mention this, that Avram as a prophet has a responsibility to mention and all aspects of this. Which means what God has told him has a whole bunch of points. Do a Brit Milah. Change the name. Yishmael is now Av Hamon Gayim. It's one of these other nations that you have fathered. But it's just going to be like the Ben Keturah. It's not going to be someone who's the main part of the story. But Yitzchak is the one. And that's what he sort of neglects to mention to Sarah. Not just that she's going to have a child, that this is the only one, and he doesn't mention it, it seems to be, because it's difficult. When we went over to the actual birth of Yitzchak, I thought it was breathtaking. There, she gets pregnant, as Yudkei Vavkei said, no deal, God did a miracle. But when it came to Avraham, it says Elohim had told him. So as I said, it was right there in front of us. Those two chapters got brought together. The child is born. Yishmael laughs. Ah, but didn't she say that everyone's going to laugh or hear about it? No, but this is a different type of laughing. This is different. This is making fun. Even perhaps, as Chazal said, question the paternity. And at that point she says, get rid of the woman and her son. Again, seeming to go exactly to what his attack had been. Avraham doesn't really seem to care about her, but Avraham is very difficult to get rid of his son, and here is where God comes and says, what? Listen to whatever she says, and here's where Chazal come and tell us, because she is a greater prophet. So as I said, that could be understood in this general sense in terms of her entire existence, she's a greater prophet, or it could be regarding this particular message, where Avram seems to have held back on his prophecy, refused to have communicated the prophecy, but she gets this prophecy anyway, and she understands exactly what needs to be done, and Yishmael is going to be sent away, and Yitzchak is going to be the one. But as I said, The follow-up of all this then becomes much more interesting when the follow-up is Vayachar Drimeila, then after these things, and God says, okay, let's look at this again. You have the word of God, and you have a son that you love, and you seem to have a little difficulty with this. Let's try to work this out a little bit better. So as I said, this may be a very interesting introduction to the Akedah.